Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 129, part 2, Is This Thing from God? Today is Sunday, January 17th, 2010. I still miss you from last week.
There is hope in Jesus. There is.
Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos. I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission, the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue North in Minneapolis. If you need food in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, or make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. At the blog, you're going to find scripture links within the message that are posted there, so you'll be able to link to those scripture links. Be sure to join us for both episodes, part one on Friday and the conclusion, part two on Sunday. We're going to start the month out with Victorious Faith, Is This Thing from God? Rule and Reward of Serving Jesus, Comfort and Consistency, Our Trials and Our Divine Deliverances. Again, have a great month. We'll see you back here for each episode. Have a great year in 2010. God bless you.
I believe and I am content. That's where I'm at. And so then I believe in the free agency of men, in their responsibility and wickedness, and that everything evil comes from them. But I also believe in God that this thing, which on the one hand, on the one side of it, was purely and alone from men, but then on the other side, it was still from God, who rules both evil and good. Not only walks in the Garden of Eden, but he walks in every situation, even hell. Well, you say, how then was this thing from God? Well, I think in two ways. First, it was a matter of prophecy. The prophet Isaiah had prophesied that 10 parts of the rent garment which were given to Jeroboam would be symbolic of the 10 tribes that would be given to him when they were torn away from the house of David. And the prophecy was literally fulfilled, as God's words always are. I believe that the migration to the very north side right here was prophesied. Well, I know it was. I believe before the foundation of the world was even founded, God says he knew every one of you that was going to be here today. He knew what was going to happen here today, and God is in this thing. Don't you believe it? I am in this thing. Some time back, we went to a large company and they gave us something that didn't work and it needed a part for like $700. And I was talking to my people here and I said, we must make friends. And so we made friends with these people. I said, God is in this thing. We made friends with these people, and since then they've given us literally thousands of dollars of goods way past that $700 that we thought we were cheated out of. Because we recognized the hand of God was in things. Ooh, are you hearing this? Then secondly, this thing was from God as a matter of punishment. Solomon here had been guilty when he set up other gods before the Most High God. And we do that all the time. We set up gods before God, don't we? Now, kids, you could set each other up as gods. Right? You could set him up as a god. I'm just using you because you're up front. Don't let that discourage you. And you go way to the back and drop down the basement. Well, you're here, though, okay? Your wife isn't here. I'd use you. And your wife isn't here, so but they're here. But he can become your god. Sheep. Well, I don't want to. I don't want to do this. Okay, God. You understand what I'm saying? Have no other gods before me. That's why you got to become one. It cuts out all the confusion. One mind, one plan, one purpose. Now, when I marry people, I always say to them, be sure, I say, one thing we're going to make this marriage. And there was a couple of committee the other day that came off the bread run up there, and they were like 60 years old and over. And she met me at the bread run. She says, Pastor Paul, do you marry people? And she's about this tall. It's about like 6'2". And I said, well, depends on. I could marry in the office, but I'm too busy to just have a complete formal wedding for everybody that comes up, because everybody wants to be married in the church because it's such a nice, beautiful church and everything. You know, and you got to turn the heat on and all that. And I said, I don't have time. But I'll marry you in the office because I think you should be married. Well, is your boyfriend? Well, we've been living together for a number of years, but all of a sudden he come up and he said, honey, he's shorter than she is. I want to marry you. And she said, you do? And he said, I sure do. And they were in my downstairs down here. And I said, God is in this thing. God is in it. This thing is of God. And they were both standing there, you know, and he was standing there, and she was standing there, and they were all nervous. And they were so cute. She was way up here, and he was way down there. And we got all done, and I says, you may kiss the bride. And I had to say, cut! That is so great. I said, that is so great. They really love one another. And she was smiling down at him. And he was smiling up here. The guy over there says, you know what job she has? She's an auctioneer. Oh, 25, 25, 25, 35. She goes off and starts going on like this, you know. And I said, brother, you don't stand a chance if you get into a discussion with this woman. She's going to outbid you every time. But this thing was of God. Our marriage was of God. I told you how I woke up. Radio audience, I'll just have to say it over. You mind if I say it over again? I woke up in the middle of the night with the most fantastic message I ever got in my whole life. Jan didn't go for it. But I said, you know what? The Lord woke me up and gave me a message. You are a dunghill, and you're sleeping next to a dunghill. And I was so excited, I ran upstairs, and I was talking and carrying on, and ministering, and all these things were coming at me lickety-split. And until you shovel out your dunghills, oh, You just can't go on. Because, see, it crusted over. And we crusted it over, and then we started poking sticks into each other's dunghills. And that raised a stink. Did you hear me, radio audience? Now give your husband a good poke in the dunghill and back and forth, and you just raise a stink yourself, see? But as a matter of punishment, Solomon had been guilty and set up gods before the Most High. Like you set up your wife or you set up your husband. Dunghills, according to God. And divided the allegiance of the kingdom and his kingdom from Jehovah by bringing in gods of Moab, gods from Egypt and Ammon. But God ordained this evil that he might chastise the greater evil of the want of loyalty to himself on the part of his servant, Solomon. We serve a jealous God. Okay, you want to do it that way? Well, then we'll throw this in there. Have you ever laid a trap for your kids that have done evil? You know, you hear them creaking on the boards going in there, creak, 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 and you hear your little coin purse go click. You hear their little quiet rattlings of quarters and 50-cent pieces and like that. Have you ever laid a trap for them? That's an evil. But it destroys the greater evil. Yes, God sets evil against evil that he may destroy evil. And he uses things which come from human folly that he may manifest his own wisdom. And so there are some events which are specially from the Lord, although he doesn't seem to be so, does it? Are you beginning to understand, judge not? Are you beginning to understand, leaning not upon your own understanding, or be careful when you think you know something, know nothing at all? Have you ever said to yourself, how did this mess ever get started? How many have been in that predicament? How did this mess go into such a mess? And what can we say after all about TV nowadays? Oh, you can talk about all the filth that's on there, and you can talk about all the filth that's in the newspapers, and you can talk about all the filth that's happening. But let me tell you something, friends, God is in everything. Be busy lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ and not tearing down all these, lifting up these other gods of Ammon and Egypt. Don't lift them up. Don't say, look how filthy they are. Because there's a part of us that likes those things. But lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't you worry about those morals and abortion and government. Get down on your hands and knees and pray and fast and believe the Lord. Start showing the love of Jesus Christ. The wickedness. The 14 kinds, I believe, of the gospel. Well, you see, what is there to cheer a child of God? All things now appear so dark and so complicated. Dunghills, dunghills everywhere. Church dunghills and marriage dunghills. Pollution and dilution and quicksand ministries and superficial, unsubstantial, unrealistic, dreamy, mystical, prophesying opinions, deceptive everywhere. Dunghills. And what happens to the message of Jesus Christ? It gets lost in the collage of dunghills. Why don't we go ahead with Paul and count it all dung from now on? That we might know Jesus Christ. Whew, resurrected. That we might know the blood and the power of the gospel. And just let all the rest of this dung go to the wayside. Well, what can we count on? I'm so bored. I'm so frustrated. Hey, Let's face it, in the house of Jesus Christ, we have a lot of bored people. Are you hearing that on the radio, Bucky boy? Are you bored, are you, guy? Are you? That's because you're preaching your own gospel. It's boring. It's the gospel of condemnation and be like me, miserable. And you're bored and you're frustrated and you're frustrated with your church and you're frustrated with whatever. You're frustrated with everything. Ah. Or you're lonesome. So many people are running around, I'm lonesome. And they're looking for someone to make them unlonesome. There is no such being, folk. They can't make you unlonesome because, see, you got a kind of a melancholy spirit. Are you hearing it right now? I know I'm talking to somebody straight over the tube and they're getting awful mad. They turn me off, they turn me on, they turn me off, they turn me on. I'm on again. And they're all lonesome. Are you hearing this? And there is nothing that will deliver you from being lonesome. You know why? Because you're alone when you're lonesome. The word even says so. Lonesome. How many are hearing this? Ooh, hear it, hear it, hear it, hear it. And you're lonesome. Are you lonesome tonight? Huh? Are the stars out? You'll never know because you're too lonesome to even go to the window and take a look. And you're bored and you're frustrated. And so maybe you think, I should be married. Huh? And you get together and two little dunghills get together and they blame it on everybody because they're frustrated and they're lonesome and they go through their whole spiritual walk. That's a good message. That's right. This is right. That's right. This is right. Why? They're looking for something to take them out of the lonesome blues. And nothing can do that saving the Lord Jesus Christ and admitting that you're living in a dunghill. Right? Guys out there on the radio, have you married a dunghill? Dunghill? If you get delivered before your dunghill wife does, dunghill, then say, you know something? I cannot stand this continual stink. I quit the dunghill, and it's just like smoking. It starts to fester, and it starts to bother your nostrils. You say, you know what, honey? You stink. It's the truth, isn't it? Oh, my. And maybe little dunghill will pick up on this message, and she'll try to, I'm not a dunghill. And she'll crust over. No, you need a stick and stir it up real good. Raise the stick. And the Bible says, the Bible talks about dunghills. Look up dung in your concordances. Oh my. My. And where will? Did ever, can you spice it up? Will salt do it, or perfumes, or Maverick lotion? Nothing. If you're lonesome, you're going to be lonesome with a wife, or with a husband, or with 10 kids, or with girlfriends, or boyfriends, or whatever, because you decided already, I'm lonesome. There's nothing outside of Jesus that can take you out of the frumpty doody diddles. Well, what can we count on? Will you answer the question, please? Now I'm getting to it. Don't get all frustrated. Here's what you can count on. The Lord liveth, and the rock of our salvation faileth not. And as he makes the wrath of man to praise him, so does he also with the folly and wickedness of man, and the remainder of both he restrains. The Lord, it says, sitteth upon the floods. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. Hallelujah. Also then, this text teaches us that when events are seen to be from the Lord, they are not to be fought against. This ministry, in the very day of its conception, in the very beginning of its very nucleus, has been fought against. And you know what? God has not failed us yet. We have failed God, but God has never failed us. Here we have Rehoboam. He had summoned his soldiers, go to war against the house of Israel. But you see, inasmuch as it was from God that the 10 tribes had revolted from him, he must not march into the territories of Israel or even shoot an arrow against them. And radio audience, this thing that has happened to you this very hour that I'm speaking is of the Lord, therefore resist it not. Accept it and stop claiming a way out. It's wicked to do so. To put your will against the Lord's will is total rebellion against him. I'll tell you something, folks. You trace an event that's distinctly from God. And then the proper course of action is that which the psalmist took. And he said like this, I was dumb, I opened not my mouth, because God didst it. Absolute submission is not enough. Oh, and I submit totally to you, Lord. Oh, I mean it, I do. Do you ever have a kid submit like that? I heard ya. I hear ya. Huh? Have you? Praise God for Pat over there. He gave me that little say, oh, I hear you. Good to see you in here today, Pat. Just keep coming. Get involved. But you ever have a kid say that? I heard ya. I'm going to do it. Stop nagging, yelling. Ooh. See, to put your will against the Lord's will is total rebellion against him. No, yes. If that cup be bitter that he gives you, you just pretend like it isn't. You know what I mean? You go on like it's sweet. Here's this cup of vinegar, see? Now, I recognize I got motives that aren't of God. You know what it is? Reason I do that, and the Lord knows me, reason I do that, because there's a whole lot of fence riders over there, and they're kind of sore from sitting on the fence. That's painful, sitting on the straddle on the fence. I know they're straddling the fence, and they say, oh, another bitter cup for you, guy. See what that'll do for you. Delicious. Then go in another room. No, God doesn't want that. Hard lines, I hear someone on the radio say. Hard heart, says I. But see, when our hearts are right with God, we love him so much. When conflict comes, we end the conflict by simply saying, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. When a hard time comes, end it. Sudden death. You ever play, is there a game like that? Sudden, seems that's six to mine. Is there something, sudden death? What is it? Oh, in the game, yeah, sudden whatever, death. Is that what they call it? The first guy that makes the basket? Well, give God the ball. He never misses. sudden death. Whew. You see, it's nothing but wickedness, whatever form it assumes. When we attempt to resist the will of God, even claiming it not to be so, that's not God's will, I know, it's from the devil, from the devil. No, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerned. In all things. Are you in that thing? Then thank God, right in it. All things. Oh, Lord, he's choking me. Huh? Well, with your last breath, see. Not only wicked, and I'm closing, it's also vain. Because after all, what can you do against the will of God? God is almighty, God is all power, God is all love, God is all understanding, God is all knowing. Who can resist his will, and who would ever succeed anyway if they could? Next, it would be mischievous. It would bring a greater evil upon us if we did resist. Had we now then this King Rehoboam gone out to fight with the far greater tribes which he had revolted, it could have meant the end of Judah and also the destruction of Jerusalem. But he didn't. He was much the wiser by putting his sword into its sheath, where it would have been disastrous to go against God's command and to go to war against Israel. God commands, love one another. No, he doesn't say, I command that you love one another. I command that you forgive. No, you fight against God, you're going to lose. Now depend upon this. Radio audience, I know you're listening and you're waiting for a slippage. Some people call me, they wait for slippages. Well, be careful. When you think you stand less, you fall. Depend upon a radio audience. There is no way of bringing afflictions upon ourselves like refusing to bear affliction. If we will not bear the yoke that is laid upon us and the heat of the gentle tugging of the reins, then we're going to get the whip and we're going to get the rod. And I think nothing involves us in so much sorrow as our refusal to submit to sorrow. Submit to it. Don't be like the world. Put on a happy face. There's a song, I don't care who knows it. How's that go? I don't care who knows it. I'm in love with you. Well, I don't care who knows it. I am in a sorrowful place. And when you receive that sorrowful place, who do you think is going to be there with you? Don't look for somebody to take you out of a sorrowful place. Hello, I'm in a sorrowful place. Can you help me out, buddy boy? Oh, it's so sorrowful down here. Ooh, 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 ooh. Huh? How many getting free in here today? Mom, put your hand up. Get free. Get free by putting your hand up. Oh, I hear people over here and over there. He's talking directly to me. God. Do you want God to talk to you? If we don't take up the cross will take us up. I'm not going to bear the cross. I'm not going to take up the cross. All of a sudden, here comes the cross. Whoop! Wham! 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 Ooh, yes, I'll tell you, folks. Endure and submit, and this is the easiest way after all.
I'm going through such a hard time. I don't know how to get out of this hard time. Can you help me? Yeah, I'll encourage you and everything. I'll encourage you to seek the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul. But you're going to have to endure, and you're going to have to submit, and you're going to have to go back into your life and say, yes, I was a dunghill. I was a teenage dunghill. Wouldn't that make a movie? I was a young married dunghill. I was a mother dunghill. I went on. I raised teenage dunghills like I was a teenage dunghill. And on and on and on and on and on. Maybe you're out there on the radio audience and you're like 70 or 80 or 100 years old and you're a big dunghill. You ever gone into some nursing homes and you see some of these people and they're not born again? They're sitting there and they're just so mean and they're all sitting there and they're all... Dunghills. You work in a nursing home? Every day. Dunghills. And you know, it would be easy for you to become a dunghill looking at all them dunghills, wouldn't it? Well, the world says it. Why fight it? Join it. But you know, God needs people like you and John and Judy that go into these places. Oh, if we've ever needed to do anything, we need to clean up our act. Say amen, somebody. And don't be ashamed of it. Well, I mean, there might be a little bit of yeast, a little bit of dung does the same thing. Right? Just grows and grows and grows, and it draws flies. You don't want anybody to know that where you're at, and so you shoo them away. Shh, get away from here. I don't want people to know. Go on, get out of here. Go on. Get out, huh? It's the truth, isn't it? Are you hearing it? I'm closing. If you're a child of God today and you rebel against Him, you have to be chastised. But if you're listening and you're not a child of God, and you rebel like the proud Pharaoh, look out. And lastly, let's see some practical applications here. You're listening on the radio. Many of you have heard me give illustrations, and they're right down the line. They fit only you. You've laughed, you've cried, you've come away angry. But you must admit this thing is from God. Also, when severe afflictions come, bow down. Bow down to God when your loved ones go. Bow down to God. This morning I got a call. My brother's in the hospital. Bow down to God. Bow down. You say, God, have your own way. Bow down. Bow down when afflictions comes and children die and accidents happen. Bow down to God. Bow down to God when you see Mexico go under, or South America, or mudslides or whatever, and say, bow down to God. Bow down and say, God, have your own way. Bow down when business is bad and you've done everything honest and you're hardworking. When calamities come, when many events in our lives are very terrible and very sorrowful. But if they are the very act of God, bow down. There is something in your life that needed dealing with, and praise God, you can pick up the shovel and shovel out the manure and say, yes, I'm starting over. They come very distinguished, these things in our life, and we know inwardly that they're from God, but see, pride will not allow us to admit it. Will you not accept it as from the Lord? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? Will we not say with Job, the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord forever? This thing is from me. Should we not kiss the rod that smites us? And sometimes in my life, I've been so upset by certain disquieting plans proposed by our friends or our children. We don't like their schemes. We plead and we beg and we argue and we cry. But no way will they listen. Shut up then. As crazy as it may seem, it could be the right course. Our judgment, after all, is but fallible, isn't it, at the best? God is always right. Whether you have a crust of bread or whether you have a big old Tom Turkey Browning, praise God for it and say, this thing is from God. And everything will seem better because He gave it. When we receive a warning by God's grace, and oh, sometimes we'll receive this warning and God's grace will keep us out of trouble, and another warning, and another warning, and another warning. Heed it, this thing is from God. When we're delivered from total failure or an awful accident, say, this thing is from God. Or when tender emotions steal over us and we find ourselves loving some terrible enemy, this thing is from God. And listen very carefully, lastly here. After you ask, God, is this from you? And you'll surely hear, this thing is from me. Put away your sword. Stop trying to spice up your dunghill. Leave it. This thing is from me. This thing is from me. People out all over in the radio audience and all over that have gone through divorces. This thing is from me a lot of times. Oh, how we think we know the will of God. Say amen, somebody. And yet, 50% of all of the people that come to churches have been through some type of thing like that. You know what I mean? And for the grace of God, you could go through the same thing yourself. Whew. God knows I've come close enough at times. Am I right? This thing is from me. Isn't that great to know that this thing, the women out there that have four or five kids or two kids or one, no husband, could this thing be from God? God is in everything. I'm not encouraging people to go out and sin. I'm just saying, brothers and sisters, that's the way it is. You can sit there in your own self-righteous dunghill if you want to. But judge ye not, lest ye be judged. In the manner that ye judged, and the manner that you measured out, so shall it be measured out to you. For not knowing all things, how can you sum things up and total it up and add it up and say, this is the way it is, and cast brothers and sisters out? God is in everything. Now, I know that's a hard pill for people to swallow, especially when they're into the self-righteous dunghill crowd. But let me poke a stick in your little dunghill to show me where you are wrong. You check back in your own lives and you'll see God in all of those things right on down the line. It won't even look to you like He was in it. But yet, how do you account for all of these children and all these beautiful things that happen in people's lives after a fact? Say amen, somebody. Judge ye not, lest ye be judged. And after all God is asking us to do is look after ourselves. That's all. All God is asking us to do is give out an encouraging word and stop piddling up to the altar to get saved every other third Sunday with great big white lips of self-condemnation and standing there, yeah, huh? Have you heard this message today? All we have to do is love the Lord with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul, and that's all God asks us to do. Can we just do that? That's all we have to do. And if we can't do it, it means we're sitting in our own stink. And all I talked about here today was myself. Well, what kind of a man are you? Well, don't judge. Take care of your own dunghill. How many are hearing this? There are so many people out there that need the love of Jesus Christ. There are so many people. But if we get caught up in our own little thing, and we start to condemn ourselves and what we've done in our life, and we did it, we didn't do this, we did do that, if we had to do over again and all this stink, what's the difference? It's over and God was in it. And you have to look back and say, you know what? Surely the Lord was in this thing. Even Bill Daly, mean as he was, meaner than hell itself, had a little bundle of flowers behind his old drunken back. God was in it. Something happened. God is in everything. And there are so many things that happen that we will not know until we are made like him, and we will know all things because we will be made like him. Go on home, and if your mate isn't with you today, or your folks aren't with you today, or your kids aren't with you today, and say, hey, honey, we need to clear up a few little dunghills in our life. And stop acting like everything is so great when somebody comes around and they got a problem. Honey pie. Yes, lambykins. See, our dunghill doesn't stink. Did you get anything out of this message today?